or Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American.
Oh my. Well, hey, what's up, Garbage?
Hey, Garbage.
Hey, Garbage. How y'all Garbage doing out there? Yeah. It's a Garbage Wednesday for Garbage people. It's good to be with you, Garbage people.
Go Garbage.
Yeah. Remember the Garbage Pail Kids?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, they were the best.
Bring those out today.
I'm telling you what. I think I still have some of those cards in my mom's basement somewhere. I'm not even lying. It's like the Garbage Pail Kids need to come back today of all days. Welcome, Garbage. Dana Lash here with you at the top of this Garbage first hour on this Garbage Wednesday. And I mean, I'm just saying, I feel like Joe Biden is a plant. I just don't know how else to put it. So his remarks last night, the way his supporters, his, I guess, like inner circle are trying to spin this is such a chef's kiss. I got a post coming out at you later today, Schrodinger's apostrophe, which we're going to talk about. So welcome to the Garbage program, you Garbage people. So he was saying, and I mean, the way that they are trying to defend this, there's literally just no other real, there's no way you can defend it. Biden just absolutely stepped in it when he was making this remark saying that all of President Trump's supporters are garbage. That's literally exactly what he said. I mean, we heard it. Can I hear it one more time? Because I know he is marble mouthed, but can I just hear it one more time? Just, it's a quick cut, 14 seconds. Just let's
or
one
Puerto
more time.
Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good,
said where
decent,
I'm from.
Honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
You know, he almost said Puerto Rico, where I'm from. He almost said that. You heard it. So this is why I wanted to play it again. Because his defenders are out there trying to say that that's not what he said. In fact, they're trying to argue that Biden actually meant to. There's an apostrophe. It's the dumbest thing I think I've ever seen in such a long time. They're trying to say, no, it's an apostrophe. One of the guys who just signed a contract, what's his name? Oh, some dude I don't care about. He's over at MSNBC now. They took the quote out of context, excuse me, and the White House rewrote the transcript to hide what he said. So what they're saying is the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters, and they try to write apostrophe S.
Where?
Now, this is where being a nerd is fun. So let's break that down, shall we? Let's have a grammar lesson for Marxist blank holes. Shall we? So here's the problem with that, right? Because it doesn't make any sense, not even in that context. In fact, it makes it worse. Adding to this imaginary grammatical stupidity, are they saying it's just one supporter's garbage? Because supporter, SUPPORTER apostrophe S, well, that's discussing the garbage. So he's saying, I see one of his supporters garbage, is what he's saying. If you believe the White House transcript and they rewrote the comment, they're trying to say, no. It's just one supporter's garbage, guys. It was one supporter's garbage. So that was the transcript that they came out with. Is it just one supporter's garbage? Like one in particular? Like which one of Donald Trump's supporters has their garbage in Joe Biden's line of sight? Or did they mess up the rewrite and mean plural supporters, which would be S apostrophe S garbage? But then did they also mess that up because it's properly S apostrophe S before a consonant? It is only apostrophe S when it's a plural if it's in front of another S. That's the only time. So they messed either way. It's foobarred. They foobarred it so hard. It's ridiculous. There's no other way to put it. So which is it? You dipwads? Tim Walz's description of J.D. Vance here is completely applicable concerning the person who decided to grammatically incorrectly rewrite the transcript and make it worse. You literally just made it worse. And that's the correct usage because they actually did. So It's either one of Donald Trump's supporters who's throwing garbage on Joe Biden's lawn, or it's plural supporters, but they foobarred it because they're morons. I mean, which is it? Which is it? Because, see, there's no possessive here. He's not talking about the garbage belonging to a supporter. He's talking about supporters, period. That's what he's discussing. Supporters, period. There is no way to walk away from this. And what gets me is they'll make up all this stuff. Well, Trump supposedly said, per Michael Flynn, who per somebody, per this person, says a source. They say stuff like that and hammer that all day long. Joe Biden is literally on camera in front of the nation calling half of the country garbage. And they're like, what? No, there's an apostrophe there. I have not seen such crazy grammatical analysis since Bill Clinton couldn't define what is was. Remember is? Remember that whole thing? Bill Clinton and is. I mean, there hasn't been, I mean, they have garbage grammar and there hasn't been that much, you know, that much discussion of it since Bill Clinton with the define is. You guys remember that, right? Let's rewind to September 13th, 1998, when Bill Clinton replied, it depends on what the meaning of the word is, because he was asked whether or not he was getting it on with Monica Lewinsky. And he had said there is no improper relationship. And then they were asking, well, wait a minute, is there something going on between you? If it there is no proper improper relationship. And he goes, quote, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. If is means is and never has been, that is not, that is one thing. That's his direct actual quote. Chef's kiss, am I right?
It's Kamala's speechwriter.
Dude, it's like Kamala's always haunted them. She's haunted them forever. It's pretty amazing. So it's Schrodinger's apostrophe. It's exactly what is happening here. This is just crazy. So they're trying to rewrite this. But then you also had, here's this, what is it? This is what, is this Josh Shapiro trying to say, trying to defend it or trying to spin it? Didn't you drop that in Slack?
There's
like,
that was just a screenshot.
Okay.
So that was a screenshot of their first version of the spin yesterday on this.
Yeah. And White House says Biden was referring to hateful rhetoric at Madison Square Garden rally as garbage. Well, he said his supporters. He didn't say hateful rhetoric. I mean, I think it's adorable that you guys are trying to like edit this. But hey, you guys said he's the most sentient person who's ever lived. He is the smartest genius ever. And so these are his words. This is what he meant. Dems to rules. You can't have it all the ways. You don't get it all the ways. He called half the country garbage. Suck it. That's exactly what happened. Own it. Run with it. That's what happened. Suck it up. He said it. Now you got to deal with it. And so, I mean, I don't know. Their bizarre explanation. I don't think anybody's buying. Are you buying the apostrophe? I'm not buying it because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
He's trying to assign the garbage as something that belongs to his supporters as opposed to calling the supporters garbage. And it's a sad attempt at cleaning up, you know, dementia Biden.
Yep. And so, I mean, let me ask this other question. Is he a plant? Because I've never seen anyone try to torpedo somebody's campaign harder than Joe Biden works against Kamala Harris. How does one do this? How does it happen? I mean, first everyone was called deplorables, then Nazis. And now Biden's like garbage, but journalists are trying to spin it. And they've been trying to save her campaign from this. I mean, those were his exact words. And Trump responded to it. And then Kamala, what is Kamala going to do? How do you deal with this? Where's the audio? She finally did reply to it. This is audio, 26,500. Audio soundbite 26. Let's roll with this first.
You said that President Biden took this comment last night about garbage.
Listen, I think that, first of all, he clarified his comments.
Did he?
Let me be clear. I strongly disagree with any criticism of people based on who they vote for.
This is the most she's ever disagreed with him in her life. And barely. It's barely. She's like barely. So she thinks he clarified it, but then she still felt like she had to distance herself there. That was interesting. She was asked again, are you concerned about the impact that his garbage comment has on your campaign? Audio soundbite 27.
Are you concerned about what impact this may have on voters, on the divisiveness of the election, and whether or not it's going to dissuade some people from supporting you because of your affiliation with the president and this administration?
I've been very clear with the American public. I respect the challenges that people face. I respect the fact that we all have so much more in common than what separates us, and that most people want a president that understands that, that gets that, and approaches their role of leadership.
That like way, some salad?
I've been very clear from my earliest years.
Why? Just answer the question.
Prosecutor.
Answer the question.
I never asked anyone, are they a Democrat
and then,
or a Republican?
She says to voters who are offended by the garbage comment, audio soundbite 28.
Do you sympathize with any voters who do feel offended by or insulted by the garbage comments?
I am running for president of the United States. I will be traveling to 3 states today to do what I have been doing throughout, which is talking with the American people about the fact that, first of all, I get it in terms of the concerns they have about challenges like the price of groceries. Second, my highest priority is to address that and to lift them up around their ambitions, their aspirations, and their dreams.
I mean, this is Washington Post. Did Biden call Trump supporters garbage? It comes down to an apostrophe. You are morons and you deserve to be. Oh, my gosh. May the good Lord above put a hand over my mouth today because I am just done. We're less than a week out and the stupid, it got dumber. It got dumber. We knew it would. So Washington Post is going all in. They're like, well, it comes down. No, it doesn't. You absolute illiterate products of incest. It does not. It does not come down to an apostrophe. We've got more on the way. We've got headlines coming up. We've got Days of These United States on the way. Lots of things. Yes, and may the good Lord keep Steve's hand over the dump button today. New partners, they're called Preborn. And since Roe v. Wade, there's been lots of fights state by state over the life of infants. And with the availability of the abortion pill that you can get at local pharmacies, I mean, this idea of abortion on demand for as a to end a, what they think is the result of recreational activities. It's incredibly prevalent. In fact, they're saying this is going to become the majority of abortions here. Preborn clinics, what they exist to do is to help women who are in this position of decision and counsel them. Women who are considering it, they've counseled over 500,000 women already, and they've saved over 300,000 lives. And they've also brought 80,000 women to faith. And every day, Preborn Network clinics rescue 200 babies from abortion. And when you help and partner with them, what they do is they provide mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling. They see a need, they fill a need, and it's all free of charge. And they provide up to 2 years of assistance. A gift of $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and you can help a woman meet her baby for the first time. It's a $140 sponsorship that sponsors 5 ultrasounds. Any donation amount helps. And when you sponsor monthly, you receive ultrasound pictures of the infants that you actually help save. Everything's tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Visit preborn.com/Dana and help save a baby and mother's life. That's preborn.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5.
All right, so starting with, a 105-year-old woman says that the secret to long life is drinking Guinness. I feel like this is a very scientific analysis. This woman's a genius. She probably is also not only the oldest, but one of the oldest people in the world, but one of the most genius people in the world. 105 years old, Kathleen Hennings. She had a pint of Guinness. And when she said that she drinks Guinness, and that's what it is. She had her birthday party with fellow friends, residents, and supportive staff at her care home. She got a hamper. What was that? Of the famous stout brand. What is a hamper of beer? I guess they just gave her a whole bunch of stuff. I guess it's a box of, she had pint glasses and apron, chocolates, all kinds of Guinness. And so she says she drinks like the chocolate looking stuff because she's hardcore. She's born in 1919. I actually agree with her. I think she's onto something, Kane. It's very, very official. The Colorado Secretary of State is a moron who posted the spreadsheet with voting system passwords. All public. Literally, they were side by side. She posted a spreadsheet to the website that had a hidden tab that showed all of the voting system passwords. In Colorado. Rocky Mountain High. There you go. I mean, you don't think it just look at this stuff? Puerto Rico's biggest newspaper. Of course they endorse Kamala Harris. Of course they did. They endorsed the vice president yesterday. In fact, I first saw this come out like yesterday. It was like early yesterday evening. And it's their second endorsement ever. Well, that's fine because USA Today and Washington Post aren't doing any kind of endorsements because they think it's biased and they're correct. And then also we've got a few other things here. This person, a random voter, some of these people, like I've gotten all of these protests where like these people are just nuts. And they all have I don't want to play it because it's just, you guys know that they're crazy. Arizona momentum has shifted towards the GOP. Kamala Harris is pulling money out of North Carolina. We're going to get into some of this here coming up. She's pulled money out of North Carolina and now is looking to spread it in some of the states where she is under the most threat. And SCOTUS is not going to allow RFK Jr. to take his name from two states' ballots. We have a lot more on the way as we barrel towards the bottom of this hour. So, we've got the latest on garbage. Kamala Harris is now, they have signs popping up in Fortnite for the Harris Walls campaign. We have to talk about this. That's popping up in Fortnite. And we've got the latest with some IRS whistleblowers as well. More of the program back after this. Our partners that help bring you this radio program, our friends over at Hillsdale College, one of the last educational institutions that's out there. Hillsdale was founded in 1844. To offer the sort of education required to maintain a free republic. And they continue with that mission today. They have all kinds of free resources, so you don't have to be on their campus in Southern Michigan to take advantage of it. They have their educational deep dive podcast. They have their free speech digest and Primus. And they're also giving away free pocket constitutions. You can get yours at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. And it's an initiative that's part of their mission to spread awareness about our nation's core values. And again, it's Dana4FORHillsdale.com. And you can get one of these pocket constitutions. They're not going to take your information. They're just going to send it to you with free shipping, everything. So it's literally free. And it's a great opportunity to share with someone maybe who doesn't have one, if you have one already. So to get your free copy of the Pocket Constitution, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com and fill out that form. They'll mail it to you with free shipping. The offer won't last long, so grab yours now at Dana4Hillsdale.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this first hour. And apostrophe S. I tell you, a lot of people at WAPO, democracy died in darkness, and apparently basic understanding of grammatical concepts also did too, because the way that they're arguing this is, so, and it's not just them, it's like a whole host of media that are trying to dig Biden out of this, because I think it was just shocking to people that, I think it was shocking that he would say something so stupid this close to election, which is really insane. And this gets into, you know, there's been so many fights over early voting. Like the Supreme Court is now allowing Virginia non-citizen, the state to purge non-citizens from their voter rolls, which is super important. They ruled 6-3 that they can resume. And it's 1,600 people who are literally not legal in the United States to vote. They are not able to vote because they're not here legally. 1,600 people identified and confirmed as not being here legally. They are not citizens of the United States. They do not pay taxes. They don't do any of this stuff. And they're fighting to be able to make decisions about those of us who do. I would go to war over that. I absolutely would. That's taxation without representation. If you're diluting my representation by including people who are not here legally and do not pay into the system what I pay into the system, then you are absolutely diluting my representation. And I think that's actionable. Well, I don't think I know it is. So the Supreme Court, 6-3, Virginia can resume in purging these 1,600 people who are not eligible to vote from the voter rolls. I don't know why Democrats fought so hard. Well, I mean, I do know, let's be honest. Why would anybody argue that it's smart to have people who are not here legally be able to make determinations about the lives of people who are here legally? I can't go to Italy and vote. I can't vote in their elections because I'm not a citizen there. What entitlement can I claim to demand equal accommodation and have my vote count in a place where I don't even legally reside? I wouldn't have even entered legally. I don't pay anything into the system at all whatsoever. I take, but I don't give. Where's that at? Where's the justification for that? It's like me busting up into these people's houses and demanding to determine what they spend their budget on. It's the same damn thing. I don't live in that house. I don't contribute to the household, but I'm demanding to have equal say in how their budget works. That's asinine. We live in the stupidest time ever. The fact that this has to be explained, I don't know. It's wild, but this is huge that they did this. They are able to continue to do it. And then as this goes on, the polling, there isn't really anything totally new to jump in. It's still just like a point, like not even a point difference nationally. And the stuff that Kamala Harris is doing isn't going to help. Not going to help. And she was invited to go on Joe Rogan's podcast. And I know Joe. I've known him for a while. I first met him at SHOT Show in Vegas, and which is the NSSF's industry event, firearm industry event. I first met him there. He was a nice guy. But he offered to host her on his program. He's like the most popular podcaster in the world. He doesn't do live radio. He does like very long conversations with like one or two people. And she wouldn't do it. She said that he had to come to her and that she would only give him an hour. But she needs him more than he needs her, so she doesn't get to dictate the terms. And furthermore, it's his program. That's a product. He was offering her the exact same amount of time in the same studio that everyone else was offered, and everyone else accepted, by the way. She somehow thinks she's more special. And in a totally pro studio, he gets to set the terms, and she said no. But she tried to set it up like he was the coward, not her. He offered her the same thing, and she wouldn't do it because she can't. Can you imagine Kamala Harris sitting down to do like a 2 or 3 hour discussion? I mean, they want to win the male vote, but they won't actually do what's needed to win the male vote. And his audience is predominantly male. She won't have anything to do with it. Instead, she thinks she can do stuff like this. Was this when she was playing Fortnite? Audio Sunbite 3.
This wasn't when she was playing Fortnite.
This was, I just noted that the contrast with her comment on this while she was playing Fortnite was probably
So she's trying so desperately to win, you know, like I said, dudes. And so they keep doing this stuff where they're trying to go after gamers. They don't play. I don't play Fortnite, I'm not going to lie. But Harris signs that are popping up in Fortnite. Can you put like signs up like that? I've never played Fortnite, so I don't know. But they're putting up, you had Tim Walz who was playing Madden with AOC the other day. And now they have these signs that are popping up in Fortnite because they're like in and around the street. They have like in Freedom Town, USA, they have a map there where they have a sign up and they have campaign signs up for her and players. It's like wild. I don't like games where I have to do real life stuff. You know what I mean? It's one of the complaints I have about Fallout. Like with this, I guess in Fortnite, you have to, that said players take advantage of small business tax breaks. They collect construction supplies and they build new homes. I don't want to just do my life in a game. You know what I mean? I don't get that. That's why I don't get like the simple, or what is it? Second Life or whatever it is. I don't get that either. There's this account that my oldest son showed me, and it's It's just known as Daniel. The guy's known as Daniel. And he's got like a couple of different YouTube accounts, and he goes on Second Life and just makes so much fun of these people that are like weird. Like they're like adult men that play as like little girls, and it's just really wild. But he goes and makes so much fun of them. But why? I just don't want to do anything that's remotely close to like what I would have to do in real life. That's why the stuff that I like to play is completely over the top. And this, I mean, oh, are you going to just... You can collect construction supplies and build new homes at lower housing costs. That sounds boring as all hell. Sorry. If you like Fortnite, I know it's a big thing, but I can't even imagine doing that. I can't imagine having a Second Life digitally like that. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like nerd. That's what Meta is, by the way. Meta is like Second Life on roids. I have no desire to be a part of that. It's the stupidest, dorkiest thing I've ever seen in my life. It is so dork. I just, ugh. Ugh. No. So they said that, I mean, Trump did too. He like did one thing, but he went on the live stream with Aiden Ross. And that was, I think, like one of the only, I think it's more than just going on live streams as well. I mean, I don't expect these candidates to sit down and be like, here's my skill tree. I don't expect that. But this is just weird. It's just weird. It's just like for them to put, why don't the Trump camp have signs in Fortnite? They're trying to go after that male vote. You know, the easiest way they could do it is for her to go on Rogan and she won't do it. That's the easiest way. How many dudes? He speaks to millions of dudes. Millions of bros a day. I guess she doesn't want it that bad. She doesn't want it that bad. I don't know. I don't know. It's just, it's wild. It's wild to me. Now, speaking of AOC, because I made mention of this. I'm going to drop this in Slack because y'all need to be seeing it. I don't know if you guys heard what she did. This is what happens when you pander so hard you can't get it right. She put out a leaflet for Arab voters in New York, right? And she had a flyer of it on her social media. And she made the leaflet available in several languages, including apparently was supposed to be Arabic, except it wasn't really Arabic. It was just like nonsensical whatever. And the characters were placed incorrectly and it ended up being meaningless. They put them in reverse order. They disconnected them from each other. It's supposed to be from right to left in a smooth form and they didn't. And she was bragging. She was saying, "Get out the vote operation is organizing in 5 languages." And except she didn't get the Arabic right, like at all. I mean, you might as well just like draw squiggle lines up there. That's pretty much what she did. And she was really getting slammed for this, which is funny. I mean, I have no defense. I just sit back and watch them cannibalize their own. It's just hysterical to me. But this is what happens when you pan so hard that you end up, you do this. This is what is up with this left. You have Tim Walz. You have Kamala Harris and Joe Biden messing everything up. It's so, speaking of Biden, coming up, I'm going to show you how MSNBC, they're claiming that you guys talking about the comment from Biden that you're seizing, you're pouncing. It's a little more than that. We're going to get into all of that and more as we roll towards the actual conclusion of this first hour. It's crazy. Everything's going very quickly. And as we move, our partners, people who help bring you the program are, oh, great. This is just great right here. It's the government theft agency. Oh, I'm sorry. The IRS, right? In real life snakes is what it's short for. The Tax Network USA Group, they know the October 15th deadline's long gone. What if you're late? What if you owe back taxes? Or what if you have unfiled returns? The IRS may actually intensify enforcement efforts. You don't want to have to deal with wage garnishments or frozen bank accounts or anything like that. And that's one of the things you have to consider. Tax Network USA has helped taxpayers save over $1 billion in tax debt, and they filed over 10,000 tax returns. They specialize in helping folks just like you reduce their tax burdens, and they can help you too. Schedule a complimentary consultation and call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. And they're skilled professionals. They're dedicated at securing the best resolution for your tax issues, making sure you get the most favorable outcome. They have versatile solutions, whether you're a $10,000 or $10 million, whether it's personal or business, and whether you're able to pay or on a fixed income. They have tailored solutions to help resolve your burdens effectively. Don't wait any longer. Visit TNUSA.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000 for a free consultation. Their experts will walk you through a few simple questions to see how much you can save. Act now before it's too late. TNUSA.com/Dana, 1-800-958-1000.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Now we, VP Harris, this is Lauren. Nice to meet you. We talk a lot up here about the black men conversation, the fact that people, you know, they keep trying to push this whole black men are not supporting Kamala Harris.
That's a lie.
And my question to you is, you know, the fact that, you know, even if it's a lie, people are still saying it. What is your strong push to any black man right now that feels like you're not speaking directly to them and about the things that they should care about for their families and for themselves?
Well, Lauren, I have to tell you back to what Charlamagne is shouting in the background. The brothers aren't saying that. I was just at the barbershop in Philly talking with very incredible and distinguished men who are leaders in their community in small business and education. And these men, these black men, were talking about not only their support for me, but most importantly, their support for my perspective on what we can do that lifts up the community and taps into the ambitions and the aspirations.
Golly, this is so stupid. I mean, again, she's like running men away from supporting her campaign. I cannot wait for this election to be over. I've never wanted anything to be over so badly. You know, other things that I've wanted to be over, like having like caps put on your teeth, right? Wanted that to be over. Having sinus surgery, wanted that to be over. I mean, all of those things like all rank up right at the same level as this. She's just situationally, the way that she modifies herself and her presentation, et cetera, for different demographics is, I mean, pandering to some extent is you're invoking bigotry in order to modify the way you present yourself. And that's what she does with these different demographics. And in the meantime, y'all don't know nothing about what she wants to bring about. Nothing. We live in the dumbest time. No, she's playing Fortnite. That's what she's doing. Have you seen Tim Walz in a while? He's was asked about a couple of things here. Audio soundbite 8. This is where he talked about Nazis. Listen.
I want to get your reaction to the president's comments, but I want to put it into a larger context of your recent comment comparing the Sunday Trump rally to a Nazi rally. And I would also throw in there Obama's bitter clingers, guns and religion comment from a while back, the deplorable line from Hillary Clinton's campaign, and the way that Democrats are seen by some voters as disrespecting them. And I have to ask, does that undercut this closing message of unity from your campaign?
No, certainly not. And for me, I've represented rural areas. I've represented Democrats, Republicans, Independents. Same thing with the vice president. Look, you saw a presidential speech last night at the Ellipse that is the best of America, one that's talking about unifying us, one that's talking about bringing folks
to
the table.
Is it really, though? He's trying to walk away from it, but it's not incredibly successful, especially when he's, I mean, this is the, I can't say what he said before on air, right? Even if he said it and it's news. I feel like when a political candidate name calls someone, even if it's something that's not FCC compliant, because it's news, you should be able to report on it and not get in trouble when they can say it.
I agree.
Right?
Not how it works, but I agree.
It's taxation without representation, Kane. You know, we went to war for less. I'm just saying, we went to war for less. We really did.
True.
I'm telling you. Now, a couple of things to touch on. We've got immigration to hit because there's an update on that shooting that took place in Chicago. Remember when they were trying to tell you that this guy was just walking down the street and he got into a firefight with cops and, oh yeah, somebody else was injured and et cetera, et cetera. And they made it sound like it was like a nothing. It almost seemed like average drug or gang crime. And then it turned out that it was basically an Islamic terrorist who shot a Jewish man as he was going to synagogue. Well, Bill Malugin was reporting that the suspect that they charged with shooting the Jewish dude, obviously he is here illegally. And he was caught in California and released in 2023. And he targeted the guy who was Jewish because he was in traditional Jewish dress going into synagogue. And this guy, this Islamic guy, yelled Allahu Akbar and then like went and shot him. And in Cook County, Illinois, which is where Chicago is, they prohibit local authorities from cooperating with ICE on detainer requests. So this guy, I mean, they're actually releasing terrorists into the interior of the country. And he's Mauritanian. Mauritania's in Africa. So he's, I guess came in through the southern border and then ended up in California. And this is wild. We're going to talk about this and more when we come back. Second hour on the way. Stick with us. Oh, great. This is just great right here. It's the government theft agency. Oh, I'm sorry. The IRS, right? In real life snakes is what they're, it's short for. The Tax Network USA group, they know the October 15th deadline's long gone. What if you're late? What if you owe back taxes? Or what if you have unfiled returns? The IRS may actually intensify enforcement efforts. You don't want to have to deal with wage garnishments or frozen bank accounts or anything like that. And that's one of the things you have to consider. Tax Network USA has helped taxpayers save over $1 billion in tax debt, and they filed over 10,000 tax returns. They specialize in helping folks just like you reduce their tax burdens, and they can help you too. Schedule a complimentary consultation and call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. And they're skilled professionals. They're dedicated at securing the best resolution for your tax issues, making sure you get the most favorable outcome. They have versatile solutions, whether you're a 10,000 or 10 million, whether it's personal or business, and whether you're able to pay or on a fixed income, they have tailored solutions to help resolve your burdens effectively. Don't wait any longer. Visit tnusa.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000 for a free consultation. Their experts will walk you through a few simple questions to see how much you can save. Act now before it's too late. tnusa.com/Dana, 1-800-958-1000. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. You can find us on, well, obviously you're listening somehow, so we're probably either terrestrially or you're watching the live stream, you know, channel 347 directly. I mean, my God, people know how to watch. Excuse my, sorry,
hey,
Lord.
Garbage.
It's garbage. The week before an election is, here's why I say this, because I get so aggravated, the stupidity that is out there right now. The week before, there is no time more insufferably stupid than the week before a general election. No time more. I'm like sitting here being told about apostrophes and, you know, all of this other, and it's okay to call somebody a Nazi, but I'm like, gosh, if you say they're, you know, garbage, or it's okay to call somebody garbage and Nazis and everything else, but if you disagree with that, then you really are, only Nazis disagree with that. I mean, it's literally the stuff that I'm reading from, like, we're less than a week out, y'all. Less than a week out. I know, deep breaths. We got some things to get into. Obviously, there's an ABC station that mistakenly aired an election result test during a Formula One race. I guess they just filled in the blanks, but WNEP Scranton, Pennsylvania, apparently they posted something and they said they came out and said they were testing their lower third because it was like on the lower third and they were trying to act like Harris beat Trump. I guess those are the numbers that they just put in. And they said they mistakenly aired this. They issued a statement about it, and they said, note from WNEP, election test results mistakenly shown on air. The test results aired for several minutes during coverage of Formula One racing. Juan's showing you what it looks like. I'm just saying. Yeah, I don't know. Seems kind of, why would you have to put any numbers in? Why couldn't you just have 111 or 000? Why did you actually have to put numbers in? Because either way, it doesn't matter, right? If it's a test and you're just like making it up, why did you have to put any numbers in?
Save that screenshot, Juan. We'll see you.
Yeah, for real. Save that screenshot. I don't know. They said they were randomly generated test results sent out to help news organizations to make sure that their equipment was working properly in advance of election night. I already voted. I've been tracking my vote, making sure it was tallied. It was. I'm watching all. I watched my whole household's votes like a stalker, like a creepy stalker. Every day, multiple times a day, I was checking because Texas has it where you can monitor everything. And I was making sure that everything, you know, everything counted and been watching it. I think you need to go on early vote for sure. And then if your state has a way, and it should be up on your Secretary of State's website. I mean, it should be not super difficult to find. Find out and then track your ballot, track your vote. Do you think this was an accident, Kane? I hate everything, so I'm suspicious of everything.
I'm willing to believe that. I'm willing to believe it. Deep, deep, deep down, though, I don't. But I'm willing to believe it.
I'm going to get really mad if, say, the left decided, you know what, let's really actually cheat a lot. I think it's very difficult to cheat in a decentralized election. However, not if you mess with the census and you try to reapportion seats and influence due to fluctuations in either it's in migration in the United States between citizens going from state to state or people coming into the country illegally. Just saying, the fix could already be in because of that. I'm very curious to see where it's close. We're not going to know. Everybody's guessing Tuesday. You know why? Because polls are garbage. And even if the polls were right, nobody believes them. Nobody believes them because it's confirmation bias. People want to have their belief affirmed. They want to see it represented. So that's why none of this matters. Nobody knows until Tuesday. And anyone who's telling you otherwise is a moron that is grifting off of you. Nobody knows. They have no clue. But I don't know. The thing that makes this weird for me, that WNEP thing, is why do you got to put the numbers in? Like, if you're just doing a test, I mean, Juan, you're running the elements and all that. You can put whatever you want in the lower third. You could put 0% if you wanted to. You don't have to have like 52%. You could put it, you don't need numbers in there, right? So then it makes me wonder why they put numbers in. If it's just a test, right? How does that work? I don't know. They said the number shouldn't have appeared on the screen. Juan adds in Slack, there's something called preview, LOL. Maybe they didn't have preview. I don't know. This stuff is what makes people suspicious. Recklessness makes people suspicious.
Also, they wouldn't have kept it up for as long as they did.
How long was it up there for?
I guess according to that story, it was like a couple minutes.
Jeez.
So if that's the case, then that also seems to be a little bit more than just a mistake.
Yeah. I don't know how long it stayed out there, but it's just really weird to me. It's super, I don't know. There's a number of different ways they could have done that without putting the numbers in. And as Juan was saying, I mean, they actually have a preview and you can look and you can see, and it's just weird that this was the way that they chose to handle it. And I'm not buying the response. I'm not buying the excuse. I'm not buying it. Media Matters has been going after conservatives. And the New York Times was writing a hit piece. Some of them are conservatives. Not all of the people are conservatives. Some of them are Democrats who figured out they could make more money pretending to be Republicans than Democrats. So I do not include some of these names in as conservatives or actual real Republicans. But some of them are. And the New York Times decided that they were going to write this piece. Carlson told them to go pound sand in a way that I cannot repeat on air. And Media Matters this is what Media Matters does. If you don't know what Media Matters is, I've dealt with them for 15 years now. They were founded by George Soros, who installed David Brock, who is this weird, reportedly coke-sniffing freak who is hyper paranoid. And one time when I was with the late Andrew Breitbart, we jumped out of the car and somewhat ambushed him with cameras as he was going into his Media Matters office. There's amazing video of it. That was back during the good old days. And they put this guy, David Brock, who used to be a Republican. In fact, he used to go after the Clintons, and I guess one of his books didn't sell well, so he decided, I'm going to be a Democrat now. And he became this, like, a nutty Democrat. And he was installed as the head of Media Matters. And Media Matters is an activist entity that tries to act like it's the ombudsman of media. They try to act like they're the referee for media. They're the fact checkers. They are the authoritarians. They are the ones who determine whether or not something is true or false. They never go after the left unless the person on the left betrays the Borg, the hive mind of the left. But they don't really go after the left. And they don't sell ads, so their source of money is donations from the Tides Foundation, which is a Soros entity. And this is all public. It's all public information. You can go and, I mean, you can see, you know, how it's supported, et cetera, et cetera. You can see all this stuff. So they, it's wild. They have gone after, they go after exclusively people on the right. They don't, like I said, they never really go after the left. At one point, I had a reporter from Media Matters. His name was Joe Strupp. He was assigned, I was his beat. I mean, he'd confess all this to me at one event. He used to follow me around the country to different events, and he would show up in the front row all the time, write about everything I did. And they keep tabs on you. Every single person who is in conservative media has a Media Matters reporter. You're creating jobs on the Marxist left. They have a Media Matters reporter that does all of this and follows them, and it's wild. So the entity, they've been around for a while. One of the times that they wrote a hit piece on me, I had made a joke on Twitter, as it was called at the time, where Barack Obama was giving a State of the Union speech, and he was saying that the Department of Defense was going to be all about green energy and NASA was going to be about Muslim outreach. And I was making a remark about how all of these entities are named, and yet they're assigned tasks that have nothing to do with their purpose, nor are reflected in their name. And I said, well, maybe we should just create a Department of Muslim Outreach and have that being about going to space. And Media Matters, and I was the token conservative at CNN at the time, and they were working overtime to get me fired. Like, they were trying so hard to get me fired. And they had CNN's Dana Loesch, quotes, "Let's shoot Muslims into space." And then I had a deal with CNN's, their VP of Standards and Practices, who apparently woke up in the morning and has the same ritual every morning, wakes up, takes a dump, and reads Media Matters. And so I had a deal with the VP of Standards and Practices and teach this old ass boomer, a bad one, sorry, but it's applicable, how Twitter worked. Like, no, that's not what was said. This is literally a fake headline. I probably could have sued them for defamation and won. But it's so expensive to undergo that litigation, and they have endless money. Media Matters, that's why nobody has sued them yet. It's not because they don't actively engage in literal defamation. It's because even if you were in the right, they will outspend you. They have an endless supply of billionaires' dollars. And George Soros isn't the only billionaire that funds them. There's an entire group of billionaires that fund them. George Soros is just the biggest, and he started it. They funnel all their money through the Tides Foundation. And that's what I've researched this. I've known them for 15 years now. One of the guys who was there kicked the bucket some time ago. But he used to be real. He was a nasty piece of work. And now there's just a bunch of people that I don't know their names. But they do the same thing. They go after and they try to smear conservatives. And they were trying to do this, trying to set something up to do this before November. And they got the New York Times, because there are a lot of people at CNN, almost everybody at MSNBC. And again, I know this for a fact because I've been in these newsrooms. I've been on these sets. I know these producers, not all of them at CNN. There are some good ones there, but they're few and far between. But at MSNBC especially, they look at Media Matters as their prep. They literally will take stuff from it and they just print it out for their anchors, and their anchors run with it on air without so much as fact checking it. They hand them packets. Like, this is a foreign concept to me because I do all of my own work. These people don't. So that's why they say all this stuff. They have producers that hand them this. And they, I mean, it's wild. They, Media Matters is still doing it. So they were, they, I guess somebody at New York Times uses Media Matters as research, and they decided they were going to write a hit piece on these, some of these conservatives and some people pretending to be conservative. And they were talking about YouTube ads and what this person said, that Democrats have not closed the border and all of this stuff, like really stupid stuff. And they want to do a big hit piece on it. So I'm glad that Tucker told them to pound sand, because it's the only thing that they're good for. But this is what Media Matters is. The right doesn't have anything like this. I don't even think it, even if you could fund it, being on the right, there's certain things that I am just intrinsically opposed to. Creating something like this and being completely not transparent about taking money from giant corporations and pushing Amendment 3 in Florida. We're going to talk about some of that coming up. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain, and then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Vatican unveils a new car. I didn't even know that. Did they have it? This says new cartoon mascot. Was there an old one? Was there an old cartoon mascot for the Vatican? I didn't know that. They said that they got a new cartoon mascot for the Catholic Church. It's named Luce. Lucy or L-U-C-E. Luce. Created from the desire to enter the world of pop culture so beloved by our young people. And it's like a little anime character with scallops in their eyes, and they're holding a stick. And they got a yellow raincoat on and green wellies. I don't know. But that's the... I mean, I don't have a problem with this. So all of my Catholic friends on Facebook were arguing. I don't know why. Why are they arguing over this? I mean, it seems like a little innocuous character, and if it helps, you know, I guess, like, bring people in, what's the issue? Am I missing something? I don't know. But anyway, so that's, and of course, Google froze because everything's horrible. Of course, because it's a horrible, ridiculous. Yeah, I'm going to try to pull this up. Bear with me here. I got some technical difficulties because I've got a 4.5 wide screen, and yet nothing actually wants to come up. Let's see. Okay, finally. Oh, the woman who died in a suicide pod, did you guys hear about this? So apparently they arrested the guy who was running the whole thing, and then they said that there were strangulation marks on her neck. They put her in one of those little sarcopods out in the woods. Dude, I don't know. That's what they're reporting. It's the Sun that's reporting this, and they're saying that it was the first woman to die in this thing, and that it looks like she may have been strangled. And the guy who ran that last resort thing is now, they're arresting. They arrested him. There's apparently some video of him out in the woods while she's in the thing. I don't know. It happened in September. And it just is, there's a lot of weirdness. Like, at one point he was like, yeah, well, she's still alive, is what he had said. Like, in this video. It's weird. Let's see here. So they're asking you not to light your jack-o'-lantern this year in Connecticut. You're being asked to not light it in Connecticut, which they're saying that they're trying to contain brush fires across Connecticut, and they have a current ban on outdoor flames. Well, can't you use, like, you can get them at Walmart, they're like super cheap. Just get those like little battery operated like tea lights and throw them in there, little votives. They're like super cheap, throw them in there and do it. But that is kind of a bummer though, that you can't, you know, just like put a little candle in there and light your jack-o'-lantern. We got a lot more on the way. Swing states, the Senate, and more. Stick with us. Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in existence. Patriot Mobile wants to save you money while not using your hard-earned dollars to work against you at the ballot box. So you're getting the best service in your area without funding the left. And you're also supporting U.S.-based jobs. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. They're now offering also Patriot Mobile One. One phone, one carrier, and you also get multiple networks. So you can seamlessly use dual SIM capabilities. You can manage both personal and business lines on a single device, which is nice. And travel-friendly coverage. I have never had one issue traveling with my Patriot Mobile service, and I've traveled extensively in the past like decade plus using it. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT, because right now you can get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana. You can also get free activation too. Don't be fooled by the pretenders. Go with the real thing. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Seizing, pouncing, audio soundbite 10. MSNBC tries to do some damage control for Biden, and it's, well, it's not really helpful.
And what he said was, and I'll just read a little bit here from the transcript. He just says that, you know, I know Puerto Ricans from my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable and un-American. Now, some on the right have seized that comment to mean his supporters, meaning Donald Trump supporters, meaning all Trump supporters, half the country, saying the president.
I just think that we should just start reading apostrophes like out loud. So whenever you hear anything with an S, just assume it it's an apostrophe S, right?
All right.
Like, I mean, anything. Like Venn diagrams, D-I-A-G-R-A-M apostrophe S. What's up? You know? Like things like that. That's what I'm saying. Just, I mean, it's, so, I mean, there's literal video, but whatever. Doesn't matter anymore. Don't believe it. Oh my gosh. And then they said, oh my gosh, here it is, here it is, here it is. Here's the New York Times. Are you ready? Give me a minute, please. So they write, President Biden on Tuesday denounced racist language at former President Donald J. Trump's recent rally, but appeared to insult Trump supporters as garbage.
Appeared?
Excuse me.
Appeared to him?
He appeared. Aren't these the people that wanted to create the Ministry of Disinformation?
Yes.
Appeared. He appeared to. Now wait a minute. Let's deep dive into this. So appeared. It's a past participle. So you're looking at. It seems like it was somewhat noticeable. Like, oh, it seems kind of noticeable. Like it's come it. No, he didn't appear. He literally, with his old wrinkled face, said it on camera. Can we play that video again, Juan, please? I just, tell me if it appears that Biden does this.
Or Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American.
Well, he appeared. Like the Washington Post said, did Biden call Trump supporters garbage? It comes down to an apostrophe.
Oh, my God. Give me my scotch.
Give me a ball bat first. I'll have the scotch after.
Yeah,
alcohol. Kane, I may not make it through till Tuesday.
No.
May not happen. Yeah. May not happen. He only appeared to. He appeared to call him. Comes down an apostrophe. Really? An apostrophe came.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a little more than that, but okay. Yeah, that's really not. They're really running hard, and of course, Republicans pounce. Republicans seized. That's what it is. You know, the U.S. economy grew like at an abysmal rate. The New York Times is trying to say it's resilient. This is why no one likes the media. This is why things like X are where everybody's going for everything. That's why. They don't like the media. They're not they're disenfranchised. They're disappointed. They feel betrayed, and they have every right to feel that way, by the way. So this, I mean, I don't know. The response that I'm seeing and the way that the media is all in on trying to handle this, like CNN, they had a meltdown on CNN. They're having meltdowns on MSNBC because it's damaging. And this was the campaign that was extolling everyone to bring dignity back to the White House. And I'm going to be the president that unites everybody. And I'm going to be the president for everyone. And so on and so forth. And then they decide after, you know, they've had 4 years of they didn't do anything. Now it's all, well, you're all racist and everything else. It's just, we're just going to do that. We're just going to go back with what worked, what we thought worked for us. I think the Washington Post doesn't need to endorse anyone when they run headlines like this. Did Biden call Trump supporters garbage? Well, it comes down to the apostrophe. He doesn't need, they don't need to endorse Harris when they write headlines like this, because this headline is a clear indication that they already did. They already made their endorsement by the way that they cover anything. Is you really have to have them come out and make it official what you see, the bias that you see every single day in their paper? No. So they're going to sit here. You know what? I got two finger salute for them. I'll give it both barrels. Unless Jeff Bezos raises it to the ground, ain't nothing. It doesn't mean a thing. It means nothing. It is worthless. It doesn't matter if they don't endorse when they have garbage biased coverage like this. It doesn't matter. This is so stupid. Absolutely stupid. Audio sound by five. She says it's so disappointing that she's not getting these newspaper endorsements. Listen.
How do you feel, Madam Vice President, about these major publications like the LA Times, the Washington Post, refusing to endorse somebody for president?
You know, Charlamagne, it's disappointing, no doubt. But the other piece of it is, it gets back to my point about who is Donald Trump, because he is the one, right, who is up for election with me. And, you know, I think that some of your listeners, they know, and others may not, which is that, look, it's billionaires in Donald Trump's club.
Well, but you have literal billion. I mean, you have George Soros, you have Bill Gates, you have Warren Buffett. You have so many billionaires on your side. I don't understand what that has to do with anything. But she's upset because she's not getting these endorsements. Again, do you need those endorsements when it's this biased? I tend to disagree. I tend to disagree. So I don't know. That the disinformation from, I mean, it's the projection is they're always guilty of what they accuse everyone else of doing. That's never changed. Now, I got to pull up a couple of other things here. Hold up. Because we got the economy. The U.S. economy grew less than expected. There's new shocking new figures. Days before the election, the GDP expanded only by 2.8%. The New York Times calls this resilience. It's literally down from 3%, from a 3% pace in the second quarter. But the New York Times says it's resilient. What? Department of Commerce releases today. It's down from a 3% pace in the second quarter. And the Department of Commerce is saying that it's a sign of a resilient economy, a healthy, resilient economy. They were expecting a 3.1% increase. And they didn't get it. They said the GDP missed expectations for the quarter. U.S. growth is due. They thought it was going to outpace. Didn't. They're going to try to, yeah, as Kane notes, say what you just put in Slack, because this is true.
Yeah, the messaging on the economy leading up to the election will be that it's quote-unquote positive. They need that bump as we roll into November 5th. This literally all it is. It's messaging. They're going to pick certain parts of some of these reports to make it look as though, like, they'll say things like, inflation's down. Oh, no, only possibly the rate of inflation's increase might be down, but inflation is still increasing. So they're going to be disingenuous with the way that they describe the economy as we roll up to November 5th.
Exactly. They need it to look good. They need that to not be a talking point. So here comes the media, ever eager to help out. Ever eager. The Guardian, which is one of the most Marxist publications that's imaginable, says Trump wants you to believe that the U.S. economy is doing terribly. That's untrue. It's a British paper, but whatever. And it's like, I don't go over there and knock the crumpets out of your mouth. So, like, why are you coming over here and telling us our bit? Whatever. Jeez, I can't. I can't with us. This is just asinine, people. You know what? Florida Man's going to be like the saving grace for today. Is that not crazy? Like, I've been looking forward to Florida Man because Florida Man makes sense. You know, Florida Man does what he does because he's got to do what he does, right? And that somehow, as crazy as that sounds, makes sense.
It's a crazy that we understand.
I read Florida Man. I'm like, you know what? That makes sense. I get it. I get that. Yeah, I get it. So coming up, the last gasp of Kamala Harris's campaign. We've got that coming up. Our friends over at Kel-Tec, the P15. If you haven't gotten a Kel-Tec, if you haven't gotten the P15, you really need to. It is the lightest, thinnest, literally the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. Nothing is lighter or thinner than this thing. And it is, like I said, double stack magazine. You don't lose the stopping power and you don't lose any power at all. And it's super ultra concealable. It's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. And the versions, it comes in a metal version and a polymer version. The metal version has the walnut wood panels, and you have the gator grip texture on the polymer. Two magazines, standard 15 round, minimal pinky extension. The other is a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 for ultra concealability. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear, striker fire, smooth trigger, lifetime warranty. Again, it is from the inventors of this category and quality made right here in the US of A. Innovation, performance, and Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC Weapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them that Dana sent you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Y'all, I'm going to tell you what. Excuse me. Allergies. Woo. Fired Disney employee allegedly hacked the menu system to falsely claim certain foods did not contain peanuts, says a lawsuit. Michael Shearer,
sounds right.
Yeah, was fired in June for alleged misconduct, alleged, says the suit. His termination was contentious and not amicable. And this disgruntled former Disney employee is being accused of hacking into the menu, creating software that they use to falsely indicate certain food items did not contain peanuts. He worked at Walt Disney World as a menu production manager. While he was there, he would create and publish the menus for their entire restaurant portfolio. So he got fired from his conduct. And apparently, they thought that initially the changes were benign because they noticed over a three-month period that the menu prices were changing because he continued to access the software from a personal device after he was fired. And so he would change the menu prices and then he added profanity. And they said those changes were more benign, but then he made changes that threatened public health, like altering the allergen information on the menus. So, man, that's like a level of meanness and spite and pettiness that it's heretofore unforeseen.
That's evil.
That's supremely evil. Wow. That's pretty amazing. A Florida man broke into Mark Zuckerberg's yacht and began throwing all of his stuff in the... How do you break into his yacht? And why is his hair so much longer and he wears weird clothes now?
Is he a pirate?
Yeah, I don't know. Technically, that's piracy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dude, he's a pirate.
Right.
Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum. He went to his mega yacht, and he... So, the I can't... It's not really a boat. It's a yacht, I guess. The yacht that he acquired is a 387-foot mega yacht feed ship, and it was for a Russian oligarch, and he got it. And it's called the... I don't know what the name of it is. It's just his mega yacht. It was like 300 or 350 million to make it. And this guy broke into it. How do you break in? How does like some rando break into your super yacht?
Parachute in?
Like because if you're at a dock, those things are pretty well protected. I'm just curious as to how. Anyway, he named the vessel Launchpad. So with Launchpad, he also brought a supporting vessel called Dapple. because, you know, when you got big boats like this, you have to have a supporting vessel with it. It's crazy. And apparently the guy just like was able to just like board it right on the marina, was able to just get right on the yacht, right in the marina. And that's how it went. And he started throwing all of his stuff overboard into the water. He was promptly arrested. I just don't know what he thought he was going to get into. Just random items, apparently. He was under the influence and he was out of compliance with legal requirements from a previous arrest. So, a man in his britches was accused of destroying and stealing items from a Lee County mini golf course. Lee County Sheriff's Office, I swear to you, it's called Smuggler's Cove Adventure Golf. Well, he was in his smuggler's britches, that's for sure. 38-year-old Francisco Mayorga, he was booked in the Lee County Jail. He stole two boxes of ice cream bars, coupon envelopes, cups, and a sign. He was walking around the business, damaging random items, including a napkin dispenser, wooden gate, removing a fire extinguisher, busted a door open. When they asked if he was alone, he replied nothing to deputies. He's facing multiple charges, burglary of an occupant, just a bunch. I'm not going to read all of them. And he also gave false ID. And he's in his britches. Did I say that? Because what is up with that? Like, stop it. I don't even know. Did I ever tell you about the guy named Lucky who shot a man in the butt and chased another with a screwdriver at Waffle House before he was arrested with MDMA?
Damn, Lucky.
I know, I'm telling you. So Lucky would, apparently that Lucky. This is a Scambia County. This dude, he was from Pensacola, a Florida man. He shot a man in the butt, chased another man around a Waffle House with a screwdriver. His name is... I feel like at some point you have too many letters in your name. DeQuanterese, yep. Jamarl, yep. Lucky.
That sounds right.
Actually, I think I did that one good. Yeah. Okay, yeah. He was arrested, accused of attempted homicide, aggravated assault, distribution of Schedule 1 narcotic, blah, 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 a whole bunch of stuff. He pulled the gun out and shot a man, and then the bullet hit the ground and ricocheted into the man's butt. And then the man who had been shot in the butt ran into the Waffle House. Everyone started running to the back of the business. Everybody's losing their minds in the Waffle House. Then he tried to run out the front door. Lucky chased him with a screwdriver, and they found all kinds of drugs on him. So he was taken into custody. I mean, you cannot make... These stories are crazy. Let's see. This is... What else we got? Oh, I got more. We also have the Uber driver who was... A Florida Uber driver who was charged with stealing Halloween decorations and eating people's food and spitting on a customer. This is in Bartow, Florida. He's facing multiple criminal charges. He spit in a customer's face, stole food from another order, and took Halloween decorations from a customer's yard during a late night delivery. Alexandra Aguilar, 29, was arrested, remains in custody. And it began when a female customer placed an Uber Eats order. And this is a chick that did this, by the way. Apparently the customer saw her take food out of the bag and she stole signs from other people's yards and that. So, and then when one customer saw her stealing from their yard, she confronted her and that's when Aguilar spit in her face. So she's in the pokey. She's being arrested. Yeah, you think so? I mean,
what would you do?
What
if an Uber Eats person spit in your face when they gave you the food?
Oh, I'd be like, that's assault and I'm going to ruin your life now.
Yes.
That's what I would do, but that's me. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Third hour coming up next.
Should there be any limits on abortion, including limiting third trimester abortions?
Look, Vice President's been very clear. Making sure that we restore the right of Roe versus Wade, making sure that women and their health care providers, because these services are health care, making sure those decisions are made in the best interest of the health of the mother. And that's exactly what we've talked about the entire time.
Well, I can't believe that this is still about abortion, which is that's what the media wants to make this about. I mean, regardless, they desperately want to make this like an abortion like election. And Tim Walz can't say, though, whether he would support a ban in the third trimester. That's kind of cowardly, isn't it? Well, I mean, that's befitting of him. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this third hour and... I didn't watch her speech last night because I only have so much tolerance in my day for nonsense. And I just was not, I'm sorry, but that's hazard pay. What are you going to learn? She's going to say the same stuff over and over again. And I mean, I glanced over her transcript and guess what? It's the exact same thing that she always says. You learned nothing. She didn't go into detail. She didn't say, look, I'm going to explain to you how exactly I'm going to, we're gonna launch this economic plan and all of this stuff, and we're gonna do all of these amazing things. And she just didn't get into the specificity of it. She hasn't done any of that. So I mean, it's pointless at this stage of the game to listen to any speeches that she has. Nobody, I mean, and then she did it in D.C. I mean, doesn't that say everything? She gave her closing remarks in D.C. And by the way, the election's Tuesday. Shouldn't that be your closing remark? Just weird. Although she already took a vacation. I do think it's interesting that Joe Biden cannot stand. A friend of mine wrote, cannot stand Kamala Harris. A friend of mine wrote that the old sack of carbon might be running on his last four brain cells, but three of them really hate Kamala Harris. Because why would you say this at this exact, and I'm not going to get into just, you know, why he said garbage. I want to look at the timing of it. Why would you say that right now, unless you are purposely trying to stomp on someone's campaign? And, you know, previously, whenever he said something that he's gotten blowback for, and it's been a problem for him, he would always try to get around it by saying, you know, he'd say something, he'd either tweet something, or he would walk past reporters and give them a soundbite, like, listen, folks, you know, blah, 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 this is what, you know, I'm saying. He's always done that in the past with certain remarks that he said, and he has been very unusually silent over this. Have you noticed that? Super unusually silent. Find that kind of interesting. Just saying. So, I don't know. I feel like it's on purpose. Like, he's doing it on purpose to step on her. Because he was a man wronged. I mean, they selected him, regardless of if you like him or not. He was selected. And then they threw him by the wayside for her. And he's getting his just desserts. That's exactly what he's enacting that on her. And that's what I think really ultimately this was about. It really does. It seems like that was a really, like, he did it on purpose. It's interesting. I was reading this couple of things. Like, I wanted to switch to, let me pull this up. This Bezos thing. And a lot of people, and I talked about this yesterday, and I have actually a piece that discusses some of this coming up later today about the Washington Post thing. I had tweeted out, because the Washington Post, and again, this is not relitigating the garbage stuff, but it's talking about the media's discussion of it. And the whole point, like this headline, they said, like, did Biden call Trump supporters garbage? It comes down to apostrophe. And I was looking at some of the stories that they have been posting. And it gets into like the 2024 election is defined by thin slices, not deep fakes, which is a stupid headline. Harris distances herself from Biden's garbage remark. They are really trying to be very careful with their headline. You know, like back in the day, Matt Drudge, and he still does this. I don't think he owns his website anymore, because clearly there's been a tone shift. But when I used to read it back in the day, it was, you know, very stark, very austere, and it was just the white page with the black links. But the way that he would arrange his links told the story. And the links that he included and the way that he arranged his links all told the story. He would get his message across without even having to do anything beyond the placement of these headlines. And that's what the Washington Post is doing with, obviously, and you know this, their selection of stories, which is why I'm thinking that I don't think that they deserve a pat on the back because Jeff Bezos comes out and says they're not endorsing. As I said, they don't need to endorse. I mean, with the headlines like the ones they've been posting, it comes down to an apostrophe. They don't need to endorse with these sorts of headlines. Daily bias makes the endorsement irrelevant. There's no point or purpose to it. So why would they? Why would they? They can pretend to be above it and act like they're not getting involved in the muck as a way to appeal to maybe some of the moderates or indies that left them. But they haven't changed their coverage. That's like if you find out a far left television host on MSNBC donates to Democrats. There, I remember when Keith Olbermann, gosh, he's such a huge head, I mean, actually, physically, when he got in trouble for donating to Democrats, when he did have a show on MSNBC, they suspended him. And I always thought that was so stupid, because I thought, you actually think that's worse than any of the coverage that he has on his program every single day? You think that's worse than any of the stuff that he says on his show every day? It's not. It's, I mean, why do you, it, this just is, it's a formality. It's something that, it's a cheap thing that you can expend the energy and the capital getting angry on without having to expend the capital of getting angry over the really serious heavy lifting thing. It's a Mott Bailey. It's pretty wild. Now, some of the surveys, I want to get into some of the polling here. CNN had one new poll of blue states. In Michigan, she holds a lead 48-43 over Trump. And this is CNN. I was like, these are registered voters, not likely voters. And there is, it is kind of, some of the other polls out there show him barely behind her or show her ahead of him within the margin of error. These states, this blue wall, you had Pennsylvania, you had Wisconsin and Michigan, which went for Trump in 2016. Biden won them back in 2020. And if she, so in, I think this was like August, she led Trump. It was 50-44 in Wisconsin, 48-43 in Michigan, and they were tied at 47 in Pennsylvania. So her lead has decreased, but his actually has too, 50-44, and now it's 48-43. And these are, again, our registered voters in this poll. But then you have this USA Today poll that looks like, and this is what I'm talking about, they're well within the margin of error. And it looked at 500 Michiganders, and these were also registered voters. And that was really similar to another one that was last week, which showed, you know, Trump maybe was like coming within striking distance. Bottom line is that it's so incredibly close. And I think when it's that close, it doesn't matter what groups of people you select, you're going to get wild. When it's that close, you're going to get wildly different results, I think, per group of people. But it looks, I don't know, I think it's, there was a poll that was out, this was like last month, an Atlas Intel poll, 49-48 Trump over Harris. 538 has her up by 0.7. RCP average has her up by 0.5. None of this includes the new CNN polling, though, with her +5. So that'll kind of shift it just a bit in her favor, looking at the aggregate of this. But there's, you know, I don't know what is happening. I don't know if it's like if they're underestimating him like they did in 2016 or overestimating him like they did in 2020. I don't know. Every election has been so different. Again, these are just sort of guidelines. They're just sort of suggestions as to where some of these pollsters think the race could be going, but it's not gospel truth. And you shouldn't take it, you know, you shouldn't take it as such. Revelations from IRS whistleblowers. And they've given their first interview since Hunter Biden pled guilty. Remember, he dropped it and then he took it up again with all of this, with one of his suits where he was suing for the defamation from the laptop and all this stuff. So now there are these IRS criminal investigators. And remember the ones that came forward, this Joe Zeigler and this Gary Shapley. And they were saying that Hunter Biden received preferential treatment, not just from the DOJ, but also the IRS. And that he probably would not face any kind of criminal accountability for the offenses that he undertook. And they said that we know that they were facing retaliation even before they came out to Congress. I mean, people were trying to ruin their careers and ruin their lives because they were speaking out about the special treatment Hunter Biden was getting. Well, now Catherine Herridge did an interview with them, and they got an email after Hunter Biden's guilty plea. Herridge says that there was an internal IRS email that shows a supervisor celebrating Biden's conviction after the whistleblowers alleged that the IRS retaliated against them for exposing double standards and preferential treatment throughout the investigation. And they said that in her post that she wrote about it, she quoted them as saying those are words that are not supported by actions of the agency. They said it was someone who knows that an IRS watchdog was looking into the way they've handled this, and they saw the writing on the wall. They're just covering their backside like a true bureaucracy. And this is kind of wild. So in this story, In the full email, they said, I wanted to take a moment. Thank you for your efforts in the investigation and conviction of the sportsman investigation. It was a multi-year thing requiring significant sacrifices and dedication on behalf of everyone. Thank you for your commitment, blah, blah, blah. The whistleblower said that they felt vindicated. And even but they said that they just felt like their supervisor's words here were just sus. That's when they said to me, it was someone who knows an IRS watchdog was looking into it. And the IRS was suppressing everything. I mean, if you ever thought that taxpayers were not equal in the eyes of the IRS, you're correct. The story proves it. And they came forward and they were saying that the process, they absolutely were witnessing preferential treatment, and that anything that involved Hunter Biden, they had to have additional like top level approvals for everything, which was completely unusual for any of the other cases that they've investigated. And they have what they call a sensitive person or sensitive investigation. That's a phrase that they use internally at the IRS. And it involves like politicians and CEOs of companies and people who are uber wealthy. And you have to have additional approvals to work. And apparently he had every one of those on him. I mean, he's broken the law, but he has every one of those on him. And they said there were a lot of steps that we were not allowed to take because of the upcoming election. And we just weren't allowed to do certain things. So they can't say that Hunter Biden is completely separate from Joe Biden and from this administration when he's campaigned with them. And then when he benefits from the influence that his dad holding that office brings. I mean, they had an entire operation to convince you that you were engaging in a Russian psyop. The entire time they knew it was true. They had all of these intelligence officials sign this letter lying to you. And they did everything possible to throw a wrench in the works of investigation. Some people are specialer than others. I mean, the IRS needs to end. I almost want to say, like, I can't ever support anyone again that's not on board for doing that. It's insane.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, Russia is finding Google how much money?
Lots of rubles.
Over YouTube bans, apparently. What the hell is a decillion? Worth of fines because they wouldn't restore pro-Kremlin and state-run media outlets. Wah, wah. I'm surprised Google didn't because Google's all about that. I hate Google. I hate them. I mean, their searches, it's impossible to use Google for anything. Let's see here. Ooh, I don't know. Is this a British thing? I don't care. Apple launches the iPhone into the AI era with free software update. I don't know if I want the AI stuff. I don't know. It's a free software update that's going to have the first dose of AI into the iPhone 16. I wish there was a way you could opt out of the AI. I haven't updated it yet.
Remember when Elon was
talking? iOS 18. Doesn't matter what your new phone is. It's just the new operating
system.
Remember,
he was saying that employees will not be allowed to have their phone with them in the building if they have AI. It's just too dangerous.
I don't know, but you can also all of the new updates for all of the, it's actually, I can't believe I'm saying this, making me rethink Apple. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, wouldn't I want to train it on me to have that ingredient in there? Yeah. So I'm torn. I don't know what to do. What do I do? This is annoying. I've got too many things to think about. The Girl Scouts. So the Archdiocese of Cincinnati discontinued their parish's partnerships with the Girl Scouts because the Girl Scouts promote like the gender dysphoria and the abortion. And they said, no, we're not going to be doing all that stuff. So good on them for like drawing the line. You know what? It'd be nice if some other churches kind of stood that strong line. So good on the Archdiocese of Cincinnati for doing that. World Series, 15.15 million viewers in Japan, more than the U.S. Stick with us.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Does he think less of
Americans who support Trump than he does of those who do not? Yeah. And two, why is he using that kind of rhetoric? How is that presidential?
So a couple of things. So just to clarify, he was not calling Trump supporters garbage, which is why he put out, this is why he wanted to make sure that we put out a statement that clarified what he meant and what he was trying to say. And so just want to make that very clear for folks who are watching.
He did say that, though. We had an actual video where he said it. He did say it. Yeah, play the video again. It's been
Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization is seen as unconscionable, and it's un-American.
And it's Schrodinger's apostrophe. That's what they're... Oh, no, he meant to say the garbage out there was his supporters. And then they edited the transcript to make it a singular supporter, supporter apostrophe S instead of supporters. And by the way, people trying to argue over apostrophes, rotten hell. I'm so tired of it because they're ignoring the entire Kane's like grimacing. I don't care. Burn. Because they're ignoring the whole point that it was a sloppy rewrite of the transcript. So here's the point. It's either going to be a singular possessive garbage or plural garbage, and they still got it wrong. But either way, they got it wrong because they said supporter, E-R apostrophe S. So they made it a singular possessive instead of supporters. And whether it was S apostrophe or S apostrophe S, it's irrelevant. They still got it wrong. Do you see my point? So which was it? No reporter... I know that gets into the weeds, and you're like, Dana, come on, I know it gets into the weeds, but I think it's important because it showcases that they're just so sloppy in trying to rewrite this. I'm not letting it go because I'm so done with this. I'm right with you all. I'm at my limit with it. Just be like, you know what? He shouldn't have said it, and he doesn't mean it, and he just spoke, you know, he's old and his brain's made of cheese. Sorry, so that's what happened. You know, I mean, come on, feel for the guy. His kids are all blinked up. You know, his wife is really the one calling the shots. I mean, it's weird, but come on. I mean, he just messed up, please. I actually would have more respect if they did that, wouldn't you? If they did that instead of, no, you're too stupid to know what you heard. There was an apostrophe there. We're sorry. What does an apostrophe sound like? What does an apostrophe sound like? Go ahead. That's what I would have asked. Kane, got any... You're KJP. KJP, what's an apostrophe sound like?
Let me be clear. I think it's important to just note and be clear about the importance of apostrophes and where they're placed in order to whether or not pluralize something or make something a possessor.
Yeah, so that's what they should have asked. Yes, Corinne, can you tell us what an apostrophe sounds like?
I saw this and I don't know.
There's more from it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you have it, Juan, or not, but if you're able to play it, it's kind of amazing because she's asked if Biden was reading from a script when he said, these people are garbage. And her answer isn't exactly, no, he wasn't reading from a script.
This is harsh.
It's kind of odd. Juan, do you have this? All right, let's look.
Reading from a script. It looked like he was reading from notes. Were those comments written out for him form?
Okay. No, I'm sorry. Okay,
no,
it's okay. No, finish. I want you to finish your statement. I'm sorry.
It would be useful to know whether there was a prepared remark that he was reading from, and if so, whether that should have been changed or whether he was ad-libbing.
A couple of things. I'm not going to get into specific here. It's not unusual for a president or the vice president or any elected official to have notes in front of them when they're speaking to a crowd or to a group of people.
That's a bunch of nonsense.
That's not a no. He wasn't reading from a script. So they scripted the garbage.
Yeah, so they scripted the garbage. So they called everybody garbage and they scripted it. And then they realized how bad it sounded after the fact. That's, They just said it. This is so stupid. I mean, the economy sucks. We've got international instability. All kinds of stuff's happening at the border. And here you have the wild, weird thing. Joe Biden just hijacked Kamala Harris's campaign I mean, ultimately, I don't really care. The media can sit here and try to argue about it all they want to. We all know that. We all know. Let me just sit back, drink out of my thermos. I'm fine. I'm actually cool with this. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it.
I'm all right. I mean, over the years, so now I am in a basket of deplorable garbage.
Oh, speaking of that, our listener, Vegas Larry, she was asked about that. KJP with her green screen green and blue. I don't know what that color block stuff is, but okay. She was asked, is this Biden's basket of deplorables moment? You know what? Why? It's not. It's Harris is running. But go ahead. Go ahead. Play it. Play it. Sorry.
A lot of comparisons made to the Hillary Clinton remark using the word deplorables. Has the president indicated to you any concern that this comment, this one comment that he has clarified now, could have similar reverberations to that previous comment? I mean, he was certainly active in politics then and was aware of, yeah, of the impact that that had.
I'm not going to go back and litigate 2016. I'm just not going to do that from here. He was not speaking about Trump supporters. He was not as a whole. He was not speaking about people who support a different candidate.
He was not speaking about Trump supporters.
That's exactly what he said.
Can you play it one more? I'm so sorry, Juan. Just one more time, please.
Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Right. His supporters. Who's his? Well, he wasn't. Is his Trump's, Kareem? Is his the correct pronoun for Trump's? It's Trump supporters? Isn't that what? Okay. I mean, is that the correct determiner for Trump? Because who else is his? What are you talking about? Well, you know, he was talking about the devil's supporters, not even Trump. He just thought he was being asked a religious question. You know what would be a good parlor game? Just this totally popped into my head. Is you have to play White House press secretary. And you have to be KJP and you have to spin this stuff for Joe Biden. How funny would that be? Think about it. Like Halloween, you got your Halloween parlor games. Like, do y'all get together with friends and do games and stuff? We do from time to time. That would be a good one, right? It's like charades. It would be a really good one. Like, you've got to be the White House press secretary. Here, you're going to draw a card and it's going to be a situation. And you...
I think I could do well.
Yeah, exactly. And that, I think that would be good. That'd be a fun game to do. Yeah, I'd play that, totally. Now, speaking of the Harris campaign, they got busted for manipulation of social media to spread disinformation. So they admit that they conducted a massive online misinformation scheme and they used Google. Google said it was a glitch in its system that allowed the Harris campaign to run counterfeit headlines that appeared to originate from AP and Reuters sources. Now, you remember this, right? We talked about it when it happened and how when you would search for something in Google, they would have these paid ads and it would be made to look like it was an AP story or a Reuters story and it would pop up. And this was like back in like late summer. And Google was like, oh, it was a glitch that allowed that, you know, ultimately. Why is it, though, I got a question. Why is it that glitches seem to only favor Democrats? Think about it. Yeah. Glitches only, they are just like the unluckiest people ever. They, you know, glitches only seem to affect Democrats. Wow. That's so crazy. So Google said it was a glitch. That it caused the fake, because when you, and I've seen them, when you Google them, it would be like an ad, but it would be presented as though it was like an AP or Reuters story. And people, it didn't really so much, I mean, it would say like this, it would say this is an ad like somewhere on the screen, but it was really well done, I gotta say. And so they admitted, and then Google admitted that they helped, you know, them really do this. And a glitch in the system allowed them into thinking that these stories, all the news stories were actually positive of Harris and Walz. So I'm just curious, like, how much manipulation is Google involved in? I mean, didn't they just do the thing with the YouTube search with the Rogan interview with Trump? And he had to post it and then apparently it was fixed. When I Googled it, it came up, or put it in YouTube, it came up for me. But that may have been like after the fact. But, and now they're like going off on Reddit. They've also been using Discord to like take over and like flood people into onto X and Facebook and try to hit stuff before Community Notes hits it, because all of their stuff would get community noted, but they're organizing to prevent that. It's actually wild. And so they've been manipulating Reddit. There's a piece over at the Federalist about this. They, and Reddit's turning into a flaming dumpster too. They've been using, and it breaks the rules, to manipulate Reddit into a way to artificially boost their popularity and spread actual disinformation. And Reddit used to be like pretty tough in terms of policing all of that. But, you know, if you got a D after your name, it's different. It's completely different now. So they've been using Discord, they've been using Reddit, they've been this to organize AstroTurf campaigns and to try to like boost positive news about her and to run disinformation and AstroTurf it and launder it on Reddit. Now, how often have they screamed at X they've claimed that the Republicans are doing exactly what they're doing on Reddit? How often have they complained about X, and how many different government bureaucracies are involved with persecuting like every single thing under X and Tesla and everything, Starlink, all of it? So they have like spreadsheets, they have key messaging, they have like all of this stuff, and this is what they've been running. They call it Reddit organizing. Why isn't the right doing this stuff? I mean, I just don't get it. Why is the right not? I'm so tired of being second with this stuff. Why isn't the right doing this? And they're all over Reddit. They're all over doing this stuff. Reddit was like one of the last places for, you know, interactive media where you used to not have to worry so much about getting smushed, about getting suppressed, about getting censored. Now, where's the right with us? But they've been saying that they've been manipulating it to control it. I mean, I'm not entirely surprised, but I am surprised at the lack of foresight from the right. RNC has nothing to do with this. They did one stream with like one dude, and that was it. Is that like the extent of it? I mean, they've got to get better at this stuff. You need a whole entire people to do this exact same thing. And we've been talking about it since before it was discovered that Dems did it.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, and make sure you get the newsletter. Lots of good stuff goes out about that, goes out there daily, and you can get all that, all good things. Lorena has a huge piece up there about all of this, including memes. It's a meme-a-palooza. And find us at Facebook and YouTube as well. I don't know what the Rumble thing is. A lot of people have been complaining to us about Rumble, and I have no idea what's going on with them. I'm not a stakeholder, so I don't know. I have no idea what's happening at Rumble. I know there's a lot of freezing and stuff, and so I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, for people that are using the PC and the browser to get the stream, for whatever reason, when we go to commercial break, even though we have on the stream chosen no ads on our stream, when we go to commercial break for the actual show, for whatever reason, Rumble kicks people out that are live streaming via the PC, so that when you have to reconnect with the show, it has ads that it plays right in the beginning. So it's almost like they're trying to either up their ad numbers or they're incentivizing people to actually use the app. Either way, or maybe it's both. I mean, that could be. But yeah, it's definitely nothing on our end that we can do about it. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So in addition to all of this, because we are less than a week out now from the election, less than a week out, and it's getting crazier. And I was looking at this, friend Jerry Dunleavy had a piece about the CIA analyst who wrote the draft of the 2017, that's that dossier, remember that? There's all these like weird bits and pieces that are coming out right now today. And the one CIA analyst, we knew that there was like weird stuff between the CIA and the FBI over this dossier, but now like more info, like a little bit more nuance is coming out about it. And this analyst had said, he called it, quote, listen to this, indefensibly trash, the worst possible info, dressed up as clandestinely obtained intel. It was a joke. End quote. Oh. And remember, they were going after Carter Page, who was a CIA asset against Russia. The FBI, they were the ones who wanted the dossier in here, that included in this whole thing. And the CIA literally had to flex, where you had these two agencies. It was so bad. They were at each other's throats and they had to flex over this. How insane is this? I'm going to post this. I think this will be a separate thing, but if you subscribe, you're going to get it, so no worries. But man, that's like pretty amazing. That's, I mean, a whole new world. All right, today in stupidity. Almost forgot. We just cut it in the show.
Juan, this will be cut three. Wow, how do I say this? All right, so she's just lying now. I guess this is how desperate the Kamala camp is in regards to this election coming up. Cut three, Juan, this is what she's claiming.
Listen, January 6th, Donald Trump sent an armed mob.
What?
To the United States Capitol.
What? Armed? Wait a minute. Nobody was armed.
No one was armed.
As a matter of fact, the only one that was armed actually shot Ashley Babbitt.
It was the Capitol police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt. Nobody was armed.
So, now, so
he was the only, well, I mean, he was.
The desperation is so thick that this is
so
now
stupid.
What
I'm
we're
so going to
be hearing the next 6 days.
Oh, I'm so tired of it. All right, folks, that does it for us today. Sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us at Facebook. We're on YouTube, Rumble. We're all those. Oh, I'm mad right now because it's like jacking with our stream. So it's like you can't get a break. Rumble, YouTube, we have the same thing. Anyway, have a great evening. We'll be back together. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.